This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Secretary of Veterans Affairs at the Department of Veterans Affairs, Robert Wilkie, joining us now. Thank you so much for the time today, Robert. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for at least virtually getting me out of the swamp.
Yeah, right? I know. Sometimes you just need to have the semblance of the idea that you're traveling to different places. So, Robert, the VA has to be near and dear to the hearts of Americans everywhere. And at a time like this, we need to make sure that we are taking care of our veterans as much as we ever have been. What's this administration doing to make sure that happens?
So, well, the benefit is that this is the first president who ever made veterans the centerpiece of his campaign. And then he made good on that promise when he became the president. I've been here for a year and a half. I had been the Undersecretary of Defense when he asked me to come to VA. And in that time, I've presented the two largest budgets in the history of our department. And under this president, we have the highest trust scores in our history. And as you know, there were many scandals in the Obama administration, and VA was always rated 17 out of 17 or 16 out of 17 in terms of best places to work in the federal government, and under President Trump, we're all the way up to 6. So there's been a dramatic turnaround here, and I think that is due to the attention that he's paid to us. But let me tell you quickly, we have 9.5 million veterans in our system. 3,000 have tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. Of those, 2,200 are at home now. Sadly, 144 have passed away, and the other 600 are in our hospitals, our 170 hospitals spread out all across the country. In St. Louis, there are 10 veterans in ICU at the VA Heartland Medical Center. So that's what the impact has been so far in your area. But the president was very, very clear to me that we had to be as aggressive as possible in pursuing a public health response to this. We were the first ones to stop elective surgeries. We were the first ones to stop visitors from coming into our facilities. And sadly, we were the first nursing home system to say to our veterans that they could not have their families and friends. And the reason that was sad is that of the 7,800 veterans who are in our assisted living facilities, the majority of those are from World War II and Korea. Oh. And it was really tough at this stage in their lives to say that they could not be part of. They could not get sustenance from their families. So that's how we've approached it. But it's it was all in terms of protecting them.
Mr. Secretary, I've heard in years past, and I think you just addressed this, that these were not places that were necessarily attracting workers.
No.
And that sounds like it's turned around. Is that still the case now? And has that changed during the pandemic? I mean, do you have all hands on deck?
We do have all hands on deck. We have about 400,000 employees, over 300,000 in our veterans' health. It is all hands on deck. Sadly, though, we have lost 4 VA employees in Indianapolis, in Detroit, in Ann Arbor, and 1 in Houston today. Nurses, social workers who have been on the front lines. So it is all hands on deck. And we have we have responded, and most of us have military experience. So we treat this as part of the continuing military family. I'm the son of a soldier, combat soldier. I still serve as an officer in the Air Force Reserve. Everyone around me has significant military experience. So what changed under President Trump is that we have people here who understand the culture and speak the language, because it is a unique part of American society, and we're dealing with people who have had experiences that the average American can never comprehend. And, we take this mission very seriously.
We're speaking with Robert Wilkie, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I want to ask you about working in this administration, with this administration, with the president, because there's a lot of noise that surrounds. Sometimes it's created, sure, you know, from the center of that administration, but there's a lot of bipartisan praise coming out of the administration right now to some of the Democratic governors across the country.
Right.
And we've seen some of that praise be sent right back to the office of the president and the administration, the efforts of Vice President Mike Pence and his team,
sure,
combating this virus. Yeah. Are we seeing, you know, Donald Trump is not a military person, but he is
right,
the commander-in-chief. Are we seeing real legitimate leadership right now from Donald Trump?
Yes, and I'll tell you why, and why it's different, because I've also worked in the legislative branch, but I have been a leader in the Pentagon and certainly a leader here. The difference with this president is that he comes from a world where if you don't act, you lose. And he comes from a very fast-paced world. He's not worried about the niceties of debate. He wants to know what the goal is and how do you meet that goal. And that's been pretty evident with me sitting here at VA, in that he had very specific things that he wanted to accomplish, and he said, go forth and do it, and it was very clear. So it is different from other administrations because he is a man of action. And I can tell you, a real quick story, I was the acting secretary for 8 weeks before I had to go back to the Pentagon. He spent over 8 hours with me in those 8 weeks. Now, as an acting, you sort of are, but you're not. And the notion of the president spending that much time asking me about the military, asking me about veterans, told me that he had an interest in the workings of government and how to make it better. That was really different from some of the folks I've served with in the past in Republican administrations.
Mr. Secretary, is this a president that you've seen that gets frustrated with how slow Washington moves at times?
Oh, absolutely.
Is he able to do things right now maybe that he's not normally because of the national emergency declarations?
Well, he certainly gets frustrated with business as usual. That's not part of his makeup. And he, by declaring a national emergency, he brings to the presidency's authorities that don't exist on a day-to-day level. And yes, he gets frustrated with the pace of movement, but he's put together an incredible team. I'm part of the coronavirus task force. I'm not a medical person. I'm a military person. And I'm sitting there with you know, Fauci and Birx and the vice president, and we all have experiences that I think make the decision-making process better, because we've done so many different things in our lives. But yes, he does get frustrated, and I can see why. And it is fascinating for me standing behind him at that press podium, which I did on Sunday, and listening and having him have to wade through a lot of the inanities that come from the audience in front of it.
One last question before we let you go, Secretary.
I've
made this point a couple of times here on my show, because I'm just so enamored with it, that in this country we are asking the American people, the government is asking the American people to stay home, and in large, large part, they are doing it. They are listening to the coronavirus task force. They're listening to the president. That's not the way it works around the rest of the world. The government doesn't
That's
ask
right.
its people to do...
No, it tells them.
Yeah, yeah, it tells them. From your position, especially being up on that podium with the President of the United States and seeing what the Americans have done as of this point in time, are you proud of them? Do you want to ask them to, to do even more?
Oh, sure.
What are your feelings?
Well, let me talk about veterans first. For veterans, they're used to tough spots, and they're used to adjusting to tough spots. They're also used to taking orders. All of us in the military, doesn't matter what our rank is. I'm a colonel, but I take just as many orders as the basic airman in the Air Force. So this is a community that can adapt to that. And I, standing at that podium with him, I am impressed with the way America has responded. And, of course, the press doesn't give the average American the credit that is due. But we see a spirit of community around the country, and we're noticing that in our veterans population. We have had fewer requests for assistance when it comes to really dire mental health situations. And that's because we've rallied around each other. And I think that's a testament in terms of veterans to their continued service to the country.
Secretary Wilkie, it's a pleasure to have you on here. We thank you for looking out for all of the bravest among us and continuing to protect them in the midst of this fight as well as they've protected us for decades and decades.
And I thank you for what you do, and I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. We will look forward to seeing you next time up on the podium and continuing to follow the advice of the Coronavirus Task Force. Thank you so much, Secretary.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.